Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tanna Prabhu Tvam Kakula Varpitam Nam Prabhu Tvam Kukale Varapitam Tanna Prabhu Tvam Kukale Varapitam Tvam Mayayaham Mamatam Arhokshaja Vinyama yena suvayam sudurvidam Videhi yogam tvayina svabhavam iti Videhi yogam tvayina svabhavam iti Svabhavam iti. Therefore, now our Prabhu, O my Lord, Tvam, you, Kukalevara Arpitam, invested in this bad body, full of stool and urine, Tvat Mayaya, by your illusory energy. Aham mamatam, the conception of I and mine. Adhokshaja, O transcendence. Vinyama, may give up. Yena, by which. Asu, very soon, vayam, we, sudurvidam, which is very difficult to give up, videhi, please give, yogam, the mystic process, twayi, unto you, na, as, our, swabhavam, which is symptomized by a steady mind. Iti, thus. Now, what I'll do is I'll read the verse, and then before speaking about the verse and reading Srila Prabhupada's purport, we're going to hear the other four verses in these prayers by Sri Narada Muni. Because this is the conclusive prayer, this is the final prayer. So this is ultimately what Narada Muni is going to be saying. So please listen carefully. I'll read the verse, and according to our system, then we'll repeat it, and then I will ask what you, if you remember anything. So please listen very carefully, because there's such a tendency, which is just the opposite of what this prayer is about, this prayer by Sri Narada Muni, to allow the mind to wander. So Narada Muni is praying to the Lord at Hokshaja, who is transcendental. He's praying to Krishna for a steady mind. A steady mind fixed in transcendence, in the spiritual realm, because one cannot attain this by one's own power. So he's going to pray to the Lord for that. So here's the verse in English. I'll read it first and then we'll repeat it. No, rather we'll do it this way. Therefore, O Lord, O transcendence. So what word means O transcendence? Adhokshaja, O Lord, O transcendence. He is beyond material nature. He is beyond sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun. He is transcendent. He is beyond that. He is situated sambhavam yapma mayaya. He is situated in spiritual energy. And because he is free, he is the one who can free us. So, O Lord, O transcendence, kindly help us by, oh yes, kindly help us by giving us a new car? No. Do crore rupee? No. By giving us the power to execute bhakti yoga. In other words, O Lord, please kindly give us, give me the power to be a devotee. A devotee is one who has bhakti, who has devotion for the Supreme Lord, and he's serving in that mood. So this doesn't come easily. This comes by the Lord's power and blessings. So please give us the power to execute bhakti yoga so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. So a very wonderful prayer to the Lord for something very wonderful and something not easy to attain, a focused mind, the cure of the restless mind. When we chant japa, this is everyone's question always. How can I stop my mind from jumping all over the universe? And here is the answer. By the Lord's mercy, it can be done. We cannot force the Lord to give us his causeless mercy because he is transcendental, he is beyond. And he is swatantra, he is completely independent. No one can force him to do anything. In the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is the transcendental autocrat. What does that mean? Raise your hand. What does that mean? He's the transcendental autocrat. Yes. He is the king. Eka Indra. He is the king of all kings. He is the Lord. No one can force him to do anything. But kindly, kindly, my dear Lord, please give me this one benediction that my consciousness can be fixed upon you in bhakti. Anukulena Krishna Anasilanam. Not pratikulena like Kamsa, but anukulena with great devotion. So it continues. We are all infected by your illusory energy. What words? Your illusory energy? Yes, your maya. Daiviye shagunamayi mama maya. Very difficult to overcome this. We have picked up this infection, this disease, and it is very difficult to get rid of it. We are all infected by your illusory energy, and therefore, now Narada is going to pray what the effect of the illusory energy is. Therefore, we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine. And we're not only attached, so he's pointing out how foolish it is that we're attached to the body, which is composed of such horrible things, and we're attached to it, thinking this is me, and this is done, this illusion, this magic, is done by Krishna's illusory energy. And then he explains, not only are we attached to the body as me, but we're attached to anything related with the body. And the body is me, and anything related to the body is called mine. Aham Amiti. I and mine. It is mine. If you touch anything that is mine, there's going to be great trouble. This is the nature of Maya. In the final two lines, except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction. Okay, what do you remember? Raise your hand if you remember something. Raise your hand if you remember something. Because if no one remembers anything, then I'm such a bad teacher. We'll have to try again. Raise your hand if you remember anything from the verse. You can look at it. Yes. What word is transcendence? Adhoksaja, yes. Krishna was transcendent. The power to execute bhakti yoga. Yes. And no one could hear any of it. Okay. But it was a good answer. Prabhu remembered that only by devotional service, the part that he forgot, is that we will be able to control this restless mind. Only by Krishna's mercy, only by his blessings, will we be able to control this restless mind, chanchalahi mana, that's jumping from one thing to the next. Only by his mercy we'll be able to control this restless mind and in bhakti serve him. And by that power we will give up our attachment to the body, which we are also attached to, even though it is composed of things that no one is attached to, but yet we are attached to it. So this is the power of Krishna's illusory energy. So he ends by saying, please bestow upon us this benediction to be able to control the mind and focus it in devotional service. Now, we'll read this verse again and Srila Prabhupada's purport in a moment. But let's just go back, because this is the final verse in Narada Muni's prayers in Bharadvarsha. So who is he offering his prayers to? Uh-oh. Who is he offering the prayers to? Thank you. Nara Narayan Rishi, who is the Lord in the form of a tapasvi, the greatest mystic practitioner of austerities. No attachment to the body. No attachment to the material mind. Full focus. So praying to the Lord, he offers his obeisances to the Lord. And he says that he's free from false prestige because there's no illusion connected to him. But he has full prestige because he's the Supreme Lord. He's all beautiful, the transcendental autocrat. Just see how beautiful. And he is the spiritual master of all paramhamsas, those who are free from material illusion. He is the one who teaches them. So therefore, because he is fully transcendental and not attached, he is beyond Therefore, Narada offers his respect, repeated obeisances again and again at his lotus feet. Then he explains that he is the Supreme Lord of the entire universe. He is the creator. He is the destroyer. He is the maintainer of all in existence. But he doesn't touch this material world at all. Again, he is transcendental. That's the second verse. Third verse. Oh my Lord, the yogis, those who are practicing yoga, there is an actual purpose to their yoga, which very few people actually know. And that purpose is to fix their minds upon your lotus feet, being detached from the material world. This is the perfection of yoga, he says, to focus the consciousness upon him, especially at the time of death. What verse? Bhagavatam? Or Bhagavad Gita too? Ante Narayana Smriti. This is the perfection of yoga. That's the third verse in these prayers. And yesterday's verse, a very, very heavy verse, that those who are practicing yoga or materialists but are on the material platform, or any materialist, he is naturally attached to the body and everything connected to the body, I and mine. But if a person engaged in yoga or Krishna consciousness is also attached to the body and therefore being afraid of giving it up, what is the use of his study of Shastra? Very heavy. When you hear this, and the verse, Narada Muni also says, if one is attached to the body and afraid of giving up the body, afraid of death, even though he's studying Shastra and practicing yoga, even bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, his practices are a waste of time. What do you think when you hear that? Does anyone want to answer that question? What do you think when you hear that? What do you think? It's very risky. Yes, what's risky? You think it's risky. Okay, an honest answer. Prabhu said, practicing bhakti yoga is risky. Anyone else have another thought? Does anyone feel embarrassed? I did. Very embarrassed. I think I must not be practicing bhakti yoga, some shadow of bhakti yoga. Because real bhakti yoga detaches one. Gyaniyat asu vairagyam, gyanam chaya rahai to come. Immediately, asu, very quickly, one becomes detached from matter and very much attached to Krishna. So after so many years, I'm thinking, not practicing bhakti yet. What to do? And the answer is, what? A lot of advisors. Yes, thank you. Please, I want to hear. Raise your hand though, so I can actually hear. Yes, Mataji. Any other advice? Thank you. Pray to the Lord. Thank you, Babu. No advice? Continue, chant sincerely. Oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please accept me as your servant. If you don't accept me as your servant, servant of your servant, Bhakta Bhakta Jana Priya, what hope do I have? So many. Any other advice? We'll get one more. Yes, Poo. Yes, association of those who are free from bodily attachment. Thank you. So up to this point, the Lord is free, and He is the controller, the complete maintainer, creator of the entire universe, and He is not connected to the universe. And we should pray to, and the perfection of yoga is to place one's consciousness fully on Him. And if we maintain, even if we're practicing yoga and we maintain material attachments, our practice is faulty. We're not doing it properly and we're wasting our time, and we should do it properly. We should practice properly and develop true bhakti. And now this verse, this final prayer of Narada Muni, he says, O Lord, O transcendence, O you who are free from all material touch or tinges, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute bhakti yoga, actually perform bhakti yoga, so that we can control our restless mind. Because here, Sri Narada Muni is pointing to what the problem actually is. Just as the Avanti Brahmana spoke about what the problem was, there's only one problem in this world, and that is the mind. Not the mind, my mind. So please, by your mercy, Vayam Chatatva Bhagavan Sarpa Jati Romanyava. You know that one? By Kaliya, he prayed that. He said, what hope do I have? I am sarpa jati and full of anger by my birth under the modes of nature. But you are the controller of the modes of nature. By your mercy, everything is possible. So therefore, please, by your potency, by your kindness, give me the power to execute bhakti so that we can control our restless mind. And then when the mind is controlled, fixed upon you, O Lord, I want to focus my consciousness upon you. I have read of so many great devotees. I have seen so many great devotees. Not so many who are like that. But we saw Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's followers, sometimes they're so focused. Prabhupada was so focused in his service. He saw everything. Stagamam jagamam deki na deki taramurti savatrahoya nija ishta deva sporti. He saw Krishna in everything and everywhere. Only focused on Krishna. So please allow me to control my restless, rascal mind and focus it on you. This is yoga. Because we are all infected by your illusory energy and therefore very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, full of things that no one is attached to. And in Maya, in illusion, I'm seeing it as something that it is not. I'm seeing my body as me, others' bodies as this and that. This is your illusory energy. And except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment and become attached to you, O Lord. Other than bhakti, there is no other way to become attached to you. Because bhakti means attachment to Krishna. It means, what does bhakti mean? Sarva Parivinaya Muktam But it means Krishna bhakti rasato bhavato mati kriyatam yari kuti chalabhyate. That it means tasting the sweetness of one's relationship with Krishna. And unless one tastes that sweetness, then we will not be able to give up attachment to the body. Despite how many Bhagavatam classes we hear about how its bodies are stool and urine and bones and etc., etc., we need to become Krishna conscious by bhakti. Now here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Listen very carefully. And then right at the end of it, it's not long, I will ask you if you remember anything and what you remember. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. The perfect yoga system consists of always thinking of Krishna, always engaging in devotional service, always worshipping Krishna, and always offering obeisances to him, Namaskuru. Unless we practice this yoga system, our illusory attachment for this bad body, which is full of stool and urine, is impossible to give up. Because if we can focus our minds on Krishna and worship Krishna and offer obeisances to Krishna, kirtaniya sadahari, continuously, we will get such a sweet taste from our relationship with Krishna. And that will break all attachment to this realm of Maya. The perfection of yoga, Prabhupada continues, consists of giving up attachment for this body and bodily relationships and transferring that attachment to Krishna. We are very attached to material enjoyment, but when we transfer the same attachment to Krishna, we traverse or cover or cross the path of liberation. One has to practice this yoga system and none other. And what do you remember? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you remember something. I want to see if anyone remembers anything. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, okay. Yes. What do you remember? Raise your hand. Daktrini Mataji. We have to transfer our attachment to Krishna. We must become attached to Krishna. We should take the attachment. No one is detached. We are not jnanis. The purpose of jnana yoga is to not interact with the material world. Break all attachment to matter. That is jnana yoga. But bhakti yoga is to become extremely attached to Krishna. So much so that Sripad Madhavendra Puri, I don't know the Sanskrit, and I says that this, let those who strictly follow the Vedas criticize me. Let these people say that I'm a fool. Because I'm wandering around with no thought of the future, let them say I'm impractical and have gone crazy. Let everyone say what they want, but I want to develop my attachment for Krishna. That boy who is so alluring, who is so attractive, who wears atop his head a peacock feather, and his smile is very charming, and it's compared to Krishna's smile is compared to what is Madhu Gandhi, Mridu Smita. It's compared to the fragrance of honey, very subtle and sweet, and very, very gentle and mridu, very soft and gentle. And his eyes are always dancing. Did you ever see anyone's eyes dancing? Krishna's his eyes move restlessly from one devotee to the next, and he calls the cows, and he looks, glances at this one, and glances at that one. We want to become attached to Krishna. There is no more suitable object of attachment than Krishna. Krishna means Krishna, and Krishna, those who are attached to Krishna, and Krishna's land. We want to develop this attachment. And one has to practice this yoga system, Prabhupada says, and none other. The yoga of attachment and service to Krishna, bhakti yoga, by chanting Krishna's names, Manmana, Baba Madhbhak, by always being engaged in serving and worshipping and chanting and hearing about Krishna and thinking about Krishna and offering obeisances to Krishna. What's the benefit of, why do we have to offer obeisances to Krishna? Raise your hand. Why? Why do we have to offer obeisances to Krishna? Because he is great and we are insignificant. And the last thing the mind wants to do is offer obeisances to anyone. The materialistic mind wants everyone to offer obeisances to me. And if they don't, they're fools. And they deserve to be chastised immediately. This is the nature of the materialistic mind. And it has to be trained to offer obeisances to Krishna, because he is great. He is the one who creates the entirety of the universe. He is the one who destroys it just like that. And he is the one who is maintaining it. Everything in existence, the planets, the dust, it is Krishna. It is all resting upon him. Mama Angso, Tejo, Sambhava. It is all coming from Krishna. So we should naturally, being very tiny and insignificant, offer obeisances and serve the greatest. But the materialistic mind, especially the materialistic modern mind, Ishwaraham, Ahambhom, Siddham. So we practice bhakti to overcome these problems. Okay. Now that I've talked and ruined your concentration on the purport, does anyone still remember anything from the purport that wasn't mentioned? Yes, you raise your hand quickly. Unless we engage ourselves in bhakti yoga, we cannot become attached to the body. And remember the last verse, or the next one, the last verse that Narada Muni said, was said, if we're practicing bhakti yoga and reading all the shastra and still attached to the body, we're wasting our time. Very heavy point, very embarrassing point. And not only the body, but everything that is related to the body. So very, very, very heavy. So to practice bhakti yoga is not a cheap thing, but it is the most wonderful thing. So, dhire dhire, we move forward. Thank you. Anyone else remember anything else? What verse was quoted from the Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Oh, it depends which chapter. Krishna promises, mam eva yasi You'll come to me. He says it twice. Priyosime, because you're dear to me, O Arjuna. You're a devotee. If you practice this form of yoga, you will come to me. I will bring you to me. By my mercy, I will bring you to me. Anyone remember anything else from that Srila Prabhupada said? Matiji, did you raise your hand? You have to say it very loudly because we have no microphone for you. Yes, but I think that was something I said, not from that Prabhupada said. Because being attached to Krishna doesn't mean we should only see Krishna and neglect the devotees. That is bhakta praya or anything connected to dhyanam samatsaram, those things that are connected to Krishna. Thank you. Anyone remember anything else from the Prabhupada's purport? Yes, transfer the attachment. We should become attached, but we shouldn't become attached to matter, dead matter, because it will cause us so much suffering. The illusion is that it will bring us so much pleasure, but the reality is that it causes so much suffering. Prabhupada says, unless we practice this yoga system, our illusory attachment for this bad body, which is full of stool and urine, it doesn't sound very attractive that way. But Maya put so much glitter on it. It's magic. Jaduwala. Maya is the greatest magician. And makes something that's essentially going to crumble and wrinkle seem so wonderful. But then in 1 second, the mind holds on to it, and then in 1 second, we could be angry at that same thing that we're looking to for pleasure. And look so appealing. Maya's incredible. But Krishna is the most incredible. Okay, we'll end here. Kindly bestow upon us this benediction, Narada Muni ends. And what is the benediction that he's asking for? Raise your hand if you remember. The power to control the restless mind and focus it in bhakti. That is what he's praying for. What a wonderful prayer. Okay. We have another 2 minutes or 3 minutes. So any questions or comments? Yes.
Prabhu, you were talking about Gyan and Bhakti and the difference somewhere in your class. What is Jnana Mishra Bhakti actually? And what's the difference between that and pure bhakti?
Jnana Mishra Bhakti, sometimes it's used to mean that performing bhakti for the purpose of getting jnana. Sometimes it's bhakti Mishra Jnana. So that's one way of understanding it. So that's not what you're asking about, though. But that's one way of understanding performing bhakti to gain liberation, especially. Now, of course, none of the devotees perform bhakti to gain freedom from misery, because we all accept all difficulties as the mercy of Krishna. Yes? We think, anyway, whatever miseries of Krishna desires, okay, we're all on that platform, because that's what it means to be a devotee. But there's another meaning, too, which there to mix the processes of bhakti with the processes of jnana. If there's a predominance of jnana in our bhakti, not meaning study of bhakti shastras, but a predominance of jnana, meaning detachment even, because the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is nirbandha Krishna sambandha yukta vairagya, seeing everything neutrally. But we also need the jnana type of preaching, because we tend to be too attached. So that's to break our attachment. But really, the devotees see everything neutrally, and we saw that with the Prabhupada. He saw everything neutrally and as Krishna's and meant to be used in Krishna's service. So when there is an aversion and an attempt to pull oneself back from the body through the intellectual processes, that will mix into the process of bhakti jnana. And the result of that won't be ideal. It's shantaras, which isn't accepted as a rasa. But this is somewhat a technical subject. Did that answer your question sufficiently? Could we discuss it for a long time? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sisi Gonatai Ki Jai. Sisi Krishna Balarama Ki Jai. Sisi Radha Chandra Sundar Lalita Vasakadevi Ki Jai. Nitai Lokan Ki Jai.